From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, August 27th, 2025. Maine's Attorney General says Westbrook police were justified in their use of deadly force in a fatal November shooting. Ryan Nichols, 37, was fatally shot in an altercation with police early on November 30, 2024. Police responded after a 911 caller reported he was assaulting her family members, according to a letter from Attorney General Aaron Fry. Before the shooting, Nichols repeatedly ignored officers' commands and they used tasers and rubber bullets in failed attempts to restrain him. Officers shot Nichols after he ran to a neighboring house, climbed a deck, and swung a nearby set of wind chimes at another officer, causing him to fall down the stairs. The officers told investigators they thought Nichols could have killed the police officer on the stairs. Fry concluded that the officers could have reasonably believed they were acting in defense of the fallen officer at the time they used deadly force. A Labor Day rally in Portland, headlined by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, is moving to a bigger venue. The Fighting Oligarchy Tour was originally supposed to take place at the Merrill Auditorium, which seats about 1,900 people. The event will now be held at the Cross Insurance Arena, which can seat nearly 10,000. Sanders' guests include Democratic gubernatorial candidate Troy Jackson and Graham Plattner, who's challenging Republican Senator Susan Collins. At a public meeting in Lewiston Tuesday night, residents told the city administrator that as the search continues for a new police chief, they want more community outreach and better protection for children and immigrants. Lewiston resident Asha Muhammad addressed the crowd of about a dozen people while holding her infant son. She says people of color are often afraid of interacting with law enforcement.
I'm not a bad person. I've had a clean history, but yet every time I get pulled over, I just feel like I'm on attack mode. Like, I just feel like a criminal automatically. So I just feel like there should be different approaches so we feel more safer.
Other residents called for officers to visit public schools and youth centers and for the department to more quickly release information about violent crime. With about 80 officers, the police department responded to more than 50,000 calls in 2024, according to an annual report. Candidates for police chief will be interviewed in September and a final decision is expected in October. Residents can also submit comments online via the city website. A 41-year-old woman from New Hampshire is believed to have drowned in Sebago Lake this morning. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office says first responders came to the scene after receiving a report that a woman had been found unconscious in the lake. After removing her from the water, officials say they performed life-saving measures, but she was pronounced dead at the scene. The Sheriff's Office and the Office of the State Medical Examiner are investigating the incident as a suspected drowning. The name of the woman isn't being released until her family is notified. Free meals are a key support for students during the school year in Maine, but summer vacation can create a void. Summer meal programs, which have bridged some of the gap, are helping to meet demand. Caitlin Badion visited a program in eastern Maine and has this report.
It's a hectic scene as the 30 or so kids at Callis Summer Day Camp arrive, chasing each other around the gymnasium, bouncing basketballs, and grabbing breakfast from a cooler.
They can pick either cereal or like a baked good, and then they get juice or milk.
Day camp director Cadence Broughton says breakfast was added after many of the kids, who arrive as early as 7:30, complained of being hungry.
And some of the kids don't have snacks that they bring from home, so the breakfast is a really good filler until they get that lunch.
And it's a relief for parents like Sierra Morrison and her three kids.
I think it just is one less thing that you have to worry about as a parent, right? Coming here and knowing that they're taken care of.
Summer meal programs like this are particularly important in a rural state like Maine.
1 in 5 children in Maine experience food insecurity, which is the highest in New England.
Kirsten Tenney is the community engagement manager with Full Plates Full Potential, a 10-year-old nonprofit that advocates for child nutrition programs in Maine. Tenney says Washington County has the highest rate of child food insecurity in the state, particularly during the summer months.
There's a big distance and a big gap in a lot of accessibility issues just because we are so spread out and it's such a big county that all the resources aren't just really, they're not as handy here as they are in other places.
The Maine Department of Education administers the funding for these efforts through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Sun Meals program. The DOE says meals were offered by more than 100 sponsor organizations this summer at more than 400 sites. And through July, the department distributed more than $2 million for summer meals. But as the school year gets underway, districts are seeing threats to federal funding for in-school meals, which only adds to the anxiety around food insecurity in rural Maine.
I don't really do politics, but things are changing so fast, rapidly. I can't keep up with it.
Sue Carter is the principal at Callis Elementary School, the site for the district's summer meal program.
You know, if it was not funded, we couldn't do it. We don't have our budget. Our school budget has been cut, and we certainly don't have funds laying around that we could use.
In addition to feeding the kids at day camp, the school is an open site in the summer, meaning anyone 18 or younger can drop in for breakfast and lunch. Carter says while the program doesn't see many drop-ins, it's an important service to offer families.
Anything that we can take off the plate for our families to help them manage. Financially, but also like emotionally, to take a stress off, to, you know, help in that way is so important.
Guys, if you're done your lunch, I want you picking up trash that you see around, please.
For the moment, the kids at day camp will focus on playing games, swimming, and enjoying their meatball subs in these final days of summer vacation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
A Massachusetts man is suing federal immigration officials over what he claims is his unlawful detention following an arrest by Border Patrol agents in Maine. Edgar Vicente Bermeosicha, originally from Ecuador, was arrested by Border Patrol agents on July 28th while driving to a job site in Auburn, according to court documents. In mid-August, he was transferred to Texas, where he is now in ICE custody. Bermeosicha's lawyers say during his time in Border Patrol custody in Maine, he had no access to interpretation services and limited access to legal counsel and was not given a, quote, meaningful opportunity to challenge his detention. They are asking a federal judge to order his release or transfer back to Maine. In court filings, government lawyers say the agency acted within its authority to detain him. A hearing in the case is scheduled for tomorrow. Television producer and philanthropist Dick Wolf is donating $10 million to the Mount Desert Island Hospital. The hospital says it's the largest gift it's ever received from one individual. The money will go towards a $55 million initiative to build a new, larger emergency department, upgrade surgical suites, and construct a new entrance. Wolf is the creator of TV franchises Law & Order, Chicago, and FBI. Colby College is opening a new Center for Resilience and Economic Impact in Port Clyde. Colby President David Green says the initiative was inspired by the numerous challenges Maine towns have had to face in recent years, such as businesses closing down, destruction from storms, and the pandemic.
So really think about how do we prepare for those in advance and to make sure that our towns and communities can be as strong as they can be, and that they can adapt to whatever is coming at them and be able to be thriving in the years ahead.
Colby established the center in part with a gift from the Port Clyde-based Northlight Foundation. Additional research will be done on Colby's Island campus on Allen and Benner Islands in Muskungus Bay. Operations for the program will begin next year. This month alone, there have been more than a dozen great white shark sightings along the Maine coast. And for beachgoers, surfers, and swimmers, it's a reminder that the ocean is a place to be shared. Michael Livingston recently caught up with some open water swimmers who are taking extra precautions without giving up their saltwater passion.
In the parking lot at Pine Point Beach in Scarborough, Kirsten Reed tucks her hair into a swim cap, straps a buoy to her hip, and starts walking to shore. Dozens of people are sitting on the beach, but very few are in the water.
They were calling for 4 to 6 foot waves on surf line. I mean, it's rough, but it looks totally swimmable to me.
As a professional open water swimmer, Reed is familiar with these conditions. She's been swimming competitively since she was 8 years old and participated in events all over the world. Now she lives in Arundel and has her own coaching business. For Reed and her students, swimming in rough waters is enjoyable, but it means accepting things they can't control, like sharks. Julie Mahoney is fine with that.
I'll tell my non-swimmer friends that I'll swim in the ocean after work, and they'll be like, well, aren't you afraid of sharks? And I'll be like, no, nope, not even a little.
The Atlantic White Shark Conservancy has documented hundreds of sightings over the past decade, and data show the numbers are increasing. John Chisholm, an adjunct scientist with the New England Aquarium, says just because there are more sharks doesn't necessarily mean it's more dangerous to swim. He says the technology used to track shark movements has evolved even more rapidly than the population. Thanks to tagging technology and social media, there are more ways to report sightings.
So it would take me days, weeks, sometimes months to just get one sighting. But now with cell phones, I'm getting dozens of sightings a day. Not all of them are sharks, but everybody, you know, is aware and people are actually looking for them.
The Sharktivity app allows anyone to report a sighting on a New England beach. Chisholm's job is to verify the sightings, sometimes dozens a day. He says more than 90% of the photos of suspected shark fins he receives are actually the harmless ocean sunfish. Back at Pine Point Beach, swimmer Kirsten Reed and three of her students wade into the choppy water. They'll swim about a mile and a half, staying parallel to the shore. Reed doesn't wear a wetsuit, which some swimmers say can confuse a shark into thinking a human is a seal, but she does wear a shark band. It looks like a watch that she straps around her ankle. It contains a magnet that emits a pulse that is supposed to deter sharks. She also has a personal checklist to assess the risk.
I might look out and if I saw birds, a lot of birds feeding on top of the water, I might think, oh, bait fish. If you see a seal, does it mean there's a shark? No, but do you want to hang out where there are a bunch of seals? No.
Reed says she's never had to deal with sharks at Pine Point Beach, but she did stop taking her students to Kettle Cove for swims to Richmond Island because of recent sightings. She says many swimmers avoid Harpswell ever since a fatal shark attack in 2020. But open water swimmers say they won't let fear overtake their love for swimming in the ocean.
Some people are afraid of seaweed. Some people are afraid of seeing the bottom or not seeing the bottom. And some people are afraid of sharks. And that's what's top of mind for them. So when I'm trying to help people get over fears, I try to get them to think about something else because the mind, you know, can only focus on so many things.
The chances of being attacked by a shark are still incredibly rare. Chisholm says there's a stronger chance of getting into a car accident on the way to the beach than encountering a shark in the water. But at the same time, he says it's always good to be shark aware. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Paula Poundstone. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.